Welcome to Radio Renegade with your host, Christian from Philly, and Batman, brought to you by World Generation Network, and in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, Radio Renegade.
Ladies and gentlemen, usually when we have our show tonight, we have an applause, but that's not the case for tonight. This is a fucking very serious fucking episode of Radio Renegades where I'm too fucking pissed off right now. But before we get started, I'd like you to introduce my co-host of this evening who might be equally as pissed off at what happened this past week on WWE. Please give it up for Batman. Batman, are you with us, brother?
Oh, yeah. What you gonna do, brother?
Yeah, man, I'm here. Kind of pissed off, kind of not. I don't know how I feel about this week in wrestling.
All right. I want to address, before we go on the show right now, that Monday Night Raw did something so fucking terrible that you know now they're motherfucking desperate. Nonchalantly, they brought the four most major fucking wrestlers in NXT, Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and fucking Aleister Black on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. And the worst fucking part is they brought it in a bumblefuck area of Lavette, Louisiana. And let me tell you something right now, people. That was the worst motherfucking wrestling crowd I've ever fucking seen in all of wrestling history. I cannot tell you what was worse. The fact that nobody was fucking giving reactions to the fucking main roster of the four NXT wrestlers, or the fact that Vince McMahon fucking publicly and reportedly admitted that he fucking sabotaged the NXT call-ups on purpose just to fucking prove a point to fucking Triple H, the NXT's trash. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with this senile old fuck, but he needs to fucking leave. He needs to fucking go. Batman, what was your fucking reaction to fucking Louisiana fucking Lafette? That fucking crowd. What was your reaction to that fucking crowd?
Well, the crowd wasn't too great, but I guess that's what it is. I think this is the problem that you had, right? Was that these guys? I honestly had no problem with the guys coming up. You know, so it gives them a chance to see how they, you know, fit in the main roster or whatever. But they also, like I said, it probably could have been a different crowd. Like, you know, not saying because Louisiana's a wrestling town, man. Just that crowd was not as great that night.
You want to know what's gonna piss you off? I saw the scheduling for the other Monday Night Raw shows. They could have debuted these four people into Atlanta, Georgia, fucking Philadelphia, fucking Chicago, or New Orleans. Those were the four scheduled Raws after Louisiana. But they chose to choose to a fucking place that people hardly don't even probably know these people, all because of a fucking ratings ploy. Even the way they were fucking announced on Monday Night Raw was fucking lazy. No fucking video packages. No fucking highlights whatsoever. This was all fucking lazy. This was not fucking well written. And fucking Vince McMahon did it all on purpose just to fucking sabotage his own fucking company. Did you know that, Batman? Did you know that he did it all on purpose just to fuck over Triple H?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to test the waters. I mean, I have heard the rumors of, him having, or telling them to, you know, kind of dumb down the NXT pay-per-views because they've always, since NXT, the takeovers, you know, since they started, they outperformed the actual pay-per-view, you know what I mean? Like the NXT before SummerSlam, the NXT before, what's it called, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, before, I mean, the NXT before. It's always been great. I know the one recently or whatever, they dumbed it down, and it was still better than the actual fucking pay-per-view. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just starting to feel like, you know, he's kind of, I don't know if he's feeling the pressure, but look at all the stuff that's been going on with, you know, like Jericho, man, and, you know, the people, like, now they have those three releases that just came out, Hideo, Tyler, what's his name, Dillinger, and, Jesus Christ, I forgot the guy's name. There was three that came out.
Yeah.
TJ Perkins. Now,
yeah.
Here's the thing about that, though. Some of these guys may get released because they feel like they didn't get any kind of, like, they weren't put on a roll or anything like that. But to be honest with you, some of these guys kind of just underperformed. Hideo Itami never got himself over. TJ Perkins, the whole cruiserweight was built on him. The whole division, the 205 Live, all that shit was built around that guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? And so then he didn't do anything, so he underperformed. The only other one that I can think of was Ty Dillinger. And Ty Dillinger is great. I just don't think they ever gave him the chance.
Yeah, well, if he turned heel, would he think he still had a chance as a mid-card champion? If the
you
perfect
mean Ty Dillinger?
10 became, yeah, if the perfect 10 became the negative 10.
Or he could have just been the perfect 10, but a really, like a chauvinistic, narcissistic, you know, like, I don't know, just a bad heel. He's like, I'm the perfect 10. No one's better than me. You can be this and you can be that, but you'll never be the perfect. You know what I mean? Like a Mr. Perfect in a way.
Yeah.
But maybe they wouldn't do
yeah.
that because then you're just kind of playing off of Mr. Perfect. But he's the perfect 10. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I could have seen a heel turn with that.
Yeah. All right. So, it's still a very serious Raider Renegade. So, let's move on to the show. Right now, we got missed booking opportunities. The first segment actually pisses me off too. The women's tag team division announcement. Batman, did you know that how the tag titles were announced was because Vince McMahon was dressed up as fucking Santa Claus and he just announced it like it was nothing fucking important?
Yeah.
That's what happened. What the fuck? Are you serious? You couldn't have, as annoying as she is, you couldn't have Stephanie McMahon do this fucking announcement.
He announced it, though. You think he wanted to announce it right? I mean, he probably could have waited a week or two later, but I mean, it was Christmas time, so what better way to give you a gift than to announce something new? You know what
no,
I mean?
But,
so
yeah,
I
way,
get it,
but
he could have done it. He could have done it better. Yeah, he could have.
Well, he did it. He didn't care. And the fans didn't even fucking care in the crowd. They were like, oh, a fucking lukewarm fucking reaction. Nobody fucking cared.
Yeah, well, see, that the lukewarm reaction, I don't think it has to do with the announcement. It just has to do with the fans. You know what I mean? That, to me, is an exciting thing. You could have cheered. You could have not been a dick and be like, hell yeah, even if it was the way he presented it. Sometimes the fans, they try to take over. They just, you know what I mean? You just gave them. The fans have been wanting that tag team title. And he announced it, and they weren't happy, then that's the fans' fault, man. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with the way he could have announced it a little differently, but the fan reaction has to be with the fans. It has nothing to do with what he announced or how he announced it. They got what they wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they should have been happy, and they weren't, and that's just, again, like Daniel Bryan says, fickle, fickle, fickle.
How long do you think the tag division is going to last before they
fucking
scrap it?
I think it's going to be a while, to be honest with you. I don't think they're going to scrap it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to design those belts for that. I think there's a lot of merchandise and marketing that could go around the tag team titles.
Yeah.
They don't look terrible either. They look really good,
no.
A lot better than the actual male. I think they look better than the male tag team titles. You know what I mean? They need
yeah.
to get rid of those now.
Yeah.
I know that they've been, you know, the Revival has been trying to get the old school, like, you know, the 90s Attitude Era title belts.
Yeah.
I honestly, man, I hope it lasts a while. They got a big... Look, if they can do a Royal Rumble, there's no reason why they won't have enough in the roster to do tag team titles. Right now, I know from what I've heard, they're floating around. So, you know, it'll be from, like, Raw and SmackDown. I don't know if they're going to incorporate NXT, but right now it's going to be Raw and SmackDown. Kind of like, you know, I think you remember back then when they had, like, the tag team titles, they would just go back on Raw. They would go back on SmackDown, like when Big Show and Jericho and all that stuff. they would flow back and forth. So maybe that's what they'll do here and then see how the roster goes. Because now you got 30 people. There's 30 people in a Royal Rumble. Split that in there, that's 15 stars in each show. Tag team-wise, what is that? Seven teams maybe in each show? Seven,
I'll
six,
go with
yeah,
18.
Five to seven. Huh?
I'll go with 18.
I'll go with 18s, but still. They should have a roster big enough to go ahead and do what they need to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting question before we move on. How do you feel knowing that champions are losing on fucking shows? How do you feel of Dan O'Brien losing constantly on fucking SmackDown? How do you feel about that?
I don't have a problem with it. It keeps him going on with his heel turn. And what matters is, like, in the pay-per-view. If you're going to build it like that, then make him win in the pay-per-view. He's going to be all grimy. Yeah. He's going to lose because, you know, people are going to get in the way. But what matters is, all right, so if that's the way that you're going to go, let him win in the pay-per-views at least. Now, if he was losing there and then lost at a pay-per-view too, then what the hell are you doing story-wise? Or, you know, story-wise, what are you doing? But if not, if you want him to lose live shows, you know, then let him win in the pay-per-view, and that's what he's been doing. You know what I mean? So it doesn't affect him as bad as you would think.
Yeah. What about Asuka losing to Mandy Rose?
I honestly don't have a problem with that either. Now, Asuka, I think her title run is going a little bland. And then, look, not everybody's title run is going to go super duper awesome, you know. You're just going to have a regular run sometimes.
No, she should have been heel with this title run.
She should have been heel, yes. Yes, she should have been heel. So it's not going the way we'd like it to go, but, you know, she's champion. She does perform out there. She kicks a lot of ass. Now, Mandy Rose, to me, that is just going to show that they got a lot riding on Mandy. I think she's going to be like the new Trish Stratus, dude, because she's really been doing great.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the next one is Sheamus' face run. You know Sheamus' whole face run, do you, Batman? The whole fucking feud with Alberto Del Rio in his fucking car. Him being friends with the fucking Muppets and all that shit. That was terrible. I hated the face run. I hated it.
I wasn't a big fan of it because the thing about that is Sheamus, like, you know what? He was actually a fan favorite. Because I know a lot of kids. You know what I mean? I got a big family, and some of the people that I know and their friends and stuff, they were friends of Sheamus. My nephew loved Sheamus even when he was a heel. You know, I think it's just Sheamus has this presence to him. The face, though, I would have done it a little different. I honestly don't know how I would book him as a face because I just don't see him as a face, though. I could see him as, like, a face that comes in and, like, if he doesn't like something, go and kick someone's ass kind of face. But I still see him as the heel just going out there and just kicking people's ass and doing what he wants to do. You know what I mean? That's the kind of character. The only thing about stuff like that, too, is that when you have a stacked roster, who do you choose to do that? You know, because then you're just going to see the same character if you got – you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can – you know, if you got too many heels, then who's the real heel? You just got a bunch of guys acting the same. You're not really having anybody stand out, you know? So Sheamus, to me, was like that. At that time, I think they needed a face for Alberto, but I don't think he was a good choice for the face because I didn't see him as this kind guy. Or, you know, I think they were trying to do that with the whole Muppets and stuff, trying to make him like, oh, well, he's relatable. But he's not. And not to say it in a bad way, but, you know, he's really pale. He's got the red hair, his whole stature. He's not a regular person. He stands out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then he buried Christian.
I don't think he buried Christian. Christian, you know, Christian, he, on his podcast, he talks about how, you know, he's talked about that feud, and he enjoyed it. He put him over. You know what I mean? It just, Sheamus, when he first came in, he skyrocketed straight to the top. I know his first WrestleMania, he beat Triple H, right? So all you're going to do is just keep going and up for nothing?
Actually, Triple H beat Sheamus at WrestleMania. Sheamus beat Triple H.
Oh, he did? Okay, yeah, he did. Okay, there you go. Yeah, yeah. But he still was put over. He's been on trajectory high. And then you have your plateaus. And I think the face, run was a plateau. You know what I mean? It was just like, yeah, we kind of just, let's see what we can do with you for now until we figure something else out.
All right, so right now, we're going to talk about his tag team partner, Cesaro's face run. What I'm talking about is when, you know, the night after WrestleMania, when Cesaro won the Andre Memorial Battle Royal, he quit the Real American tag team with Jack Swagger and Seb Coulter, and then he sided with Paul Heyman. And I didn't like this face run because I felt like it was rushed, and it was kind of mediocre. Well, do you remember his face run?
You're talking about who again?
Cesaro.
Cesaro, there you go. I don't know how I forgot his name. Yeah, that's when he was doing that the Real American stuff, yeah. Dude, I was confused there. When he was doing that, we, the people, did they do that as a rib? Or were they really thinking that he was going to be part of, like, was it like an anti-American being an American? You know, just to kind of, like, rib people or just to get in people's, you know what I mean? Like, okay, look, we're in this time of, we're in this time frame now where everything is like, it's got to be, we've always been patriotic, but really now, patriotism is like a big fucking thing. You know what I mean? You either this or you're done.
Yeah.
So I think, like I said, if we did that right now, that would grind a lot of gears because, you know, he's not an American, we'll say that. He's not the typical American that you see, you know, and so for him to be the, except like Jack Swagger. So when he was doing that, it kind of confused me sometimes. I didn't get the point of it, you know. I would have liked to see him as the Paul Heyman guy.
But the real did it with Zep Culture, too. They had a short little run as Mex-America.
Yeah, when he first came back, right?
Yeah, Mex-America. That was the stable.
Yeah, and see, I didn't like that either. I think that's why Alberto Del Rio left again, because he was like, man, I came over here expecting this and this and this and that, getting my respect back, and then you put me into the international, whatever the hell, with Sheamus, Rusev, and him. They put him
League
in with the culture
Nations.
For a little bit.
League
the League of what?
League of
Nations.
Nations,
there you go. Oh, man. Alberto Del Rio, to me, is an awesome fucking talent. I think, to me, he was like the earlier version of what we see now with Cien Almas. You know what I mean? He wasn't as aerial, but he could move in the ring. He could put on matches with anybody. His little Greco-Roman, all that stuff, the style that he had was fucking impeccable. They didn't give him the time of day, I think, when it came to storyline. Like, he really could have been, like, not the next Eddie Guerrero, but he was something,
think,
you know what I mean?
I think the only good storyline Alberto Del Rio had was against CM Punk. That was the only good storyline. Him and Punk. That's it.
I liked him and Ray. Of course him and Ray would mix.
Yeah, but nobody hardly talks about that feud anymore. You know?
No.
Not their top.
No, not at all.
No. And then God awful fucking feud with Big Show. That was fucking awful.
Oh, yeah. Forgettable. See, they just put him in a lot of forgettable feuds, man, because I honestly don't remember a lot of the stuff. I remember him, and that's the thing. That's when you know somebody stands out, when you can remember somebody, but you don't really remember the storyline, but you know that's him. You know what I mean? He did have a lot of charisma. He had a lot of it factors that most people needed, you know? So he was doing something.
He feuded with Dolph Ziggler. He feuded with Big Show. He feuded with Randy Orton on SmackDown. But, you know, Randy beat him every time, so he didn't get over.
Yeah, okay, I remember that feud.
Yeah. He feuded with Ricardo Rodriguez at one point, and for some reason
Edge.
He feuded with RVD. RVD.
I remember that.
When he returned. Yeah.
Wasn't it with Edge was when he...
Edge was 2011. RVD was 2014.
Yeah, but I'm saying his last feud with Edge, I remember that feud. That's when Edge retired.
Yeah. And then he feuded with Christian at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably, Batista, when Batista returned. Batista.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true. When he returned for a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they have that one match, which was awful. That was awful.
Yeah.
Let's see. He feuded with... Technically, he feuded with the League of Nations after they broke up.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's all but the real head of feuds. And technically, if he did had a feud with Miz, I think that would have been good, right? Like, if he feuded with Miz in 2011, who would be the face in that situation?
Probably Alberto Del Rio. I don't think Miz.
But I think they would like Miz better because, I mean, I'm not speaking for the fans, but I think the crowd would have liked Miz better than Alberto. Because Alberto just can't win.
You think
so? They know Miz more than they know Alberto because Alberto just came then in WWE.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's it for that. Before we go on, let's talk about some breaking news. Roman Reigns is going to return this Monday. Probably talk about how his recovery is going. But if this doesn't happen on Monday Night Raw, I'm going to rant. I want Dean and Seth to come down and fucking have a remorseful, you know, reunion for one last time. That's what needs to happen this Monday. Him, Seth, and Dean come back together for one last night and hug it out for one last time. Wouldn't that be nice?
I would like that. And, I mean, I think – I don't know what they're doing. See, here's the thing with Dean. It's like maybe because he's leaving, they're going to let him do what he wants. But supposedly they put out a lot of feelers for him to sign that contract again. And he's kind of – I've seen that he's considering re-signing, extending his contract. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Like they had that little segment where he was like, dude, where were you? He's like, are you fucking crazy? Have you lost your mind? He's like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's Dean Ambrose that we know. And they let him.
Yeah.
Those are little glimpses of, like, that's the Ambrose that we know, not the one that you've been trying to portray since he came back. Because ever since he came back, it's been, like, straight downhill for him.
Yeah.
To me, at least wise. And that said, I'm a huge fan of Dean Ambrose. He's, to me, my favorite one out of all of them.
Yeah. We all blame Seth because he accidentally injured him. That's why.
Uh-huh.
I hope. Suicide dive and accidentally hitting Dean Ambrose. Fuck me.
Which one?
Oh,
yeah.
You know, the last night he was there until he went away from surgery. He was fighting
bar
and suicide dive and accidentally injured Dean. In fact, Seth Rollins also injured Finn, and after that he became, you know, he lost in the shuffle until now he's IC champion. So, Seth needs to be careful.
I could see them feuding for the Intercontinental again, you know? I've seen feelers about that.
I want Dean versus Finn at WrestleMania. That's what I want. I want Dean versus Finn.
I would say the same thing. I don't think I've ever seen them wrestle before. And I followed both of their careers for a while. Even
they
in the indies. So to me their dynamic would be awesome because Finn has this he's unorthodox but not. You know what I mean? He's got like this unorthodox thing about him, but it's still kinda like by the book, the way he wrestles, his delivery. And Dean Ambrose is literally unorthodox. You know what I mean? There's no fucking rhythm or rhyme to him. He just goes. You know what I mean? Kind of like Jeff Hardy in a way.
Yeah.
But I see it as like what I would think, man, if they were to bring – I've always said this, and I think I've mentioned this in the podcast many times before, but I could see them building. Like if they were to do a hardcore, they obviously you're not going to have blood and blah, blah, guts like before, but if they were to have like an Extreme Rules division or something like that, Dean Ambrose would be the dude to – go. You know what I mean? And from Dean, I can see Cesaro. I can see Sheamus. I can see the Usos. I could see the New Day really putting on, like, some kind of extreme matches. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys that they could build. I can see Luke Harper. I can see – I don't know about Eric Rowan, but I know Luke Harper. I've seen him and Dean Ambrose at it a jillion times.
Yeah.
So I could see a Dean Ambrose and a Finn Balor. Well, going back on the Roman, not to cut you off, but supposedly there's a rumor that it's a forced kind of thing. Like, they were thinking, like, well, you know, we want you back in time for WrestleMania. You need to show up. And if that's the case, man, let him be.
Who do you think's idea was that? Who do you think, Vince? Well, Vince's idea.
Yeah, I mean, Vince is going to do the orders. He's going to obviously do the orders, but, I mean, nah, man, if that's forced, then that to me, it's like, no. You know, maybe bring him back at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Make him show up at WrestleMania, but don't.
Let the man recover and spend time with his family, you old fuck.
Yeah. I don't think Vince is too senile. I think that's what me and you always like, too. We're not bump heads, you know, we're like, I'm a big fan of Vince. You tend to be pretty mad at him. Don't get me wrong. I'm the same way, too. Sometimes I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You know? But, I mean, he's here for a reason. I mean, he's on top for a reason, so. But it doesn't mean we always agree. You know what I mean? Hey, I was going to say, I love pizza, but it doesn't mean I like every single slice of pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's the same thing.
Yeah.
He's got all these slices. He ain't going to like every single one. Sometimes it's not going to be cooked right, you know? And that's a weird analogy. I'm just hungry. But I think I did that last time. I did a food analogy.
Oh, and by the way, I just found out that the whole Becky Lynch for the Charlotte match for Flash, the Fast Lane, ain't happening. There's no match for that. So I don't know how the fuck they're going to include Becky Lynch in this match now. I can't think of anything else. I can't think of anything else. How the fuck they're gonna do that? I don't know. Like, I don't know how the fuck they could do this. They backed themselves in a corner with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the worst part is, right? Ric Flair is supposed to return this Monday for his birthday. If they book Becky Lynch to attack Ric Flair, they're gonna fucking boo Becky Lynch. They're gonna boo her.
Because
everybody
Ric Flair?
Loves this. They love Ric Flair. They're going to boo Becky.
I don't think they will, man. I'll be one of the first people to tell you the day that Ric Flair dies, I'm going to have to take off that day. I don't give a fuck what I'm doing. People are going to have to understand. I'm going to cry. I'm going to lose myself. You know what I mean? But with that being said, if Becky Lynch interrupted Ric Flair, I would be happy. I would pop. Because what their fucking way, especially considering the fact that, and again, I listen to other people's podcasts, stars, and one of them questioned about the fact that, like, I think it was Edge and Christian, actually, where the one where Becky Lynch went and apologized, right, like a week or so ago, and she had to apologize, and they
that
still took
terrible.
Her out of the match.
That
yes, okay, well, that made her look weak. Like, if you were going to make her apologize, why didn't you, if you were going to apologize, at least apologize, like, Edge asked a simple question. He was like, would you ever see Stone Cold apologize to Vince McMahon when he was in the height of his character? And Christian said yes, but not without a Stone Cold stunner at the end. And that's where they messed up with the Becky. If you're going to have her apologize and do all that stuff, okay, great, but she should have attacked or did something after the apology. You know what I mean?
I will only see Stone Cold apologize in 2001 when he was a heel with Vince McMahon. That's the only time I would see him apologize.
And that went okay with the character, you know. But when it's the character like the Becky Lynch right now, the man, that the person who can do whatever, do no wrong.
Yeah.
They made her do wrong. They made her apologize, and they didn't even retaliate or nothing after that. She just and then they still pulled the carpet from under her. So you're building that for her to get her redemption at WrestleMania. Or you just did it to do it, and now it's like, what the fuck? I'm kind of confused on why you would make her look weak like that and not retaliate at least. You know what I mean?
And you know what else? It makes Becky look stupid because all they asked for her was to go to a fucking doctor, but she fucking refuses. Why are you being so fucking defiant and going to a fucking doctor? What's wrong with you? They're not fucking taking you out of the match. They just want you to see a fucking professional, and you're just being a bitch right now, and you're not fucking doing your job. So go see a fucking doctor. Like, what the fuck? This whole build-up sucks. It fucking sucks. And you know what the fucked up part is? Ronda Rousey, the champion, isn't even hardly involved in this fucking build-up. She's just there. She's just fucking there. She's like fucking non-existent at all. She's just there. What the fuck? That's your champion.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Okay, so now we're going to the what the fuck moments. And this one, I know you have to agree right now with me with this one. Vince lied to the fans about fucking change. Why the fuck would you go? Why the fuck would you go on live television with the rest of your family and promise people change when there's clearly no change whatsoever? People are still getting rematch clauses like fucking Miz and Shane and antiquated rematch clauses. How many fucking rematch clauses the fucking Revival got when they kept losing and losing to Chad Gable and Bobby Roode? Where the why the fuck did Braun Strowman get disqualified in a fucking tag match on Raw? Where are these new matchups you promised people? Why are the NXT call-ups a fucking disaster with EC3 and Lacey Evans? Don't get me started on Lacey Evans. I don't know what the fuck they're doing with her.
She's hot.
I know, but what else? What else did they promise us? What else? That we were the we were the authority and we decided? Then why isn't what we want being fucking authorized at Raw or SmackDown? Why is it?
Yeah, but see, that's where they get you. The way you're reacting, I feel like that's what he was doing on purpose. You get what I'm saying?
But
like,
why? What? But why? What?
Maybe
what,
he's
what
gay. Like Edge mentioned in his podcast too. He disagreed too. He was like, I don't get why they're doing this. He was like, but Vince sometimes knows what he's doing. Not sometimes, he knows what he's doing a lot of times. And if we don't see it now, I have a feeling it's gonna build up, and at WrestleMania we're gonna get what we want. I'm telling you right now, that match is gonna happen. They're just doing all this, but we're gonna get it at WrestleMania.
Dude. Yeah, but dude, why promise? This is different, though. In circumstances, this is fucking different because they promised us online. This isn't fucking news. This wasn't fucking backstage.
No, I know
they
it's live TV. It was on live TV, and what better way to fucking dupe you than live TV? At that time,
we were
complaining about how terrible the Raws were, how terrible this and that
thing,
was.
Though, I
to
was,
the point.
Here's the thing, though. I wasn't fucking duped. Because I knew it was a fucking lie to begin with. I wasn't fucking duped. I knew it was a fucking lie.
Well, maybe you did, but not every fan knows. You know what I mean? Not every. I know a lot of people who watch wrestling, and I'll see them comment. I'm like, we have no idea anything about wrestling. I'm not saying I do either, because I'm not in the business. But I think I'm knowledgeable enough. You know what I mean? And I'm not like a wool over my head. Like some people, when they're fans. And that's the thing, is that we can't take that away from them. They're fans. Those are the people that are watching. But not everybody is what they would say a mark. We're marks. You know, we kind of slither around in the ins and outs of the business. We're trying to figure out, try to think that we know everything. I would like to think we're knowledgeable enough. I mean, but to me, that was a good way to, like, call out the people and be like, all right, you think you know what you're doing? These ratings are terrible. So then Seth Rollins goes and calls it out to Baron Corbin. When the ratings were getting terrible, he's like, oh, the past week have been bad because of you. That was their way of covering it up, right? Or acknowledging it.
Yeah,
so then another way for
Vince,
because
why
not?
Baron.
I guess that's a question too. Why not?
They threw him under the bus. Poor Baron.
Oh, yeah.
Threw him under the bus.
And then he's got to keep that the management, like the whole suit and everything still that he wrestles. They're making him keep it off. Like, I don't understand why you have to put him with the slacks and all. Just keep him. Not that no more.
The Braun Strowman Baron Corbin feud is probably going to fucking continue. You know that, right? This isn't fucking over.
No, I don't think it's over.
And it's fucking garbage. It keeps getting worse and fucking worse and worse. It's getting worse. I mean, fuck me. That fucking tables match was boring as fuck. I fell asleep during the whole thing. Because Braun Strowman ain't nothing no more. He's done. His role is done. His run is done. Now he's just out there now.
Somebody that we used to know.
Yes.
Oh, man, look, they can still, he's salvageable. But it's just, excuse me.
It's he's just figuring right out.
Yeah, no. He's got a lot better skill than right back. I think he was a lot more over than right back was.
No, I mean placement wise, he's becoming right back.
Well, I mean you're not gonna keep him on high tide the whole time. You know what I mean? Maybe they're just having him do something for now. You know what I mean? Until they figure out where to go again.
At least put him around the mid-card title hunt. At least put him around the IC title hunt.
Yeah, but see, I don't see how that would work though, because right now the IC title. Okay.
No,
I
wouldn't have him win it. I'd just have him be in the hunt, not win the title itself.
Well, I guess, but then how would you play that out? Because then if he's in the hunt and these are IC titles, who's he gonna go and run over this time? The lower guys? Then it's just gonna make the lower. He's not. Yeah.
He could feud with Elias, and then Elias wins.
True.
And then fucking
yeah,
Elias
Bobby Lashley.
Goes.
Yeah.
No, not Bobby Lashley.
And you
no,
know what?
My point is,
he's still a big guy, still a big dude.
Yeah.
Like, if he goes over the IC, they're gonna be over smaller guys, Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And I guess that could work though. Because that could develop his character. That could develop his character in the fact of like how to maneuver with these smaller guys, faster guys, kind of like in a cruiserweight, but not so low in the. I don't want to say low in the totem pole, but you know, not so low in weight wise. But
yeah.
I guess I could see him in a title run. Just have him hunted, take down a couple people. You don't have to win. But if he doesn't win, does that make him look weaker than he already looks now? Because he just went and hunted and tore all these guys down and still couldn't come out with the title.
No, all he needs to do is just put on a great show and then he'll look strong. He doesn't need to win it, but he'll look strong. Just put on a great show. That's all then he needs to do. All right, so the next one is NXT May roster failures. It's been how many weeks? 5 weeks? Since these six NXT call-ups, and already they're not looking so fucking good right now. EC3 already has a loss in his main roster run, and Nikki Cross already looks like a fucking goof already, Nikki Cross. Lars Sullivan is still fucking missing, MIA. Lacey Evans is just walking back and forth on the ramp. She's thinking she's Chris Jericho again from 2012. Heavy Machinery already lost like two matches in their fucking NXT debut. Like this is a bunch of fucking failures. What the fuck? These people were not fucking ready. None of these people were never fucking ready to jump ship to the main roster. But of course, because of fucking ratings, you had to bring these fucking people here. Well, look what's happening now. Because these people are not fucking prepared. They're not fucking prepared at all. They're fucking suffering because of it. And I'm disappointed at EC3. Because it looks like he was never fit to be in WWE to begin with. He should have stayed in TNA. Or go to ROH. Or go to New Japan. Go to somewhere else. If you didn't want to go to TNA, why the fuck do you choose WWE? WWE has not fucking utilized you correctly. Ever. You could have gone to ROH. You could have gone to fucking New Japan or any of the other independent wrestling promotions. But you choose the fucking company that hardly booked you to begin with. Now you're paying for it. Now you're looking like a fucking idiot. You're fucking smiling on the camera. You're not doing your fucking promos. People are supposed to care about you when they don't even know what the fuck your character is. You think some people from Raw watch NXT? No. There are some people who do, but then there's the other 50% who doesn't. So how the fuck are people supposed to know who the fuck you are if you're not fucking cutting no promos, if you're not fucking showing your personality? How the fuck are people supposed to care about you? Right? Am I the only one that thinks like this, Batman?
I don't know, man. Because my thing is like, and I've said this so many times, but man, that roster is stacked. where do you go? You can't build characters if you got a shitload of characters. You know what I mean? It's like this. It's like, you ever watch a movie where they have like 10 different characters and all their storylines mesh into one? That's wrestling. Now imagine that movie. Now imagine that movie. Let's say it's built on like 6 or 7 characters. Go.
I could give you a video game example. Kingdom Hearts.
Just too many? I've never played Kingdom Hearts.
There's a lot of fucking characters in Kingdom Hearts. I can't count. There's fucking 9 characters. 13 if you count the villains.
I guess it's all right, though. I mean, because I've never played, so I don't really know how it affects the story. But here, it's like there's way too many stories going on at once now. And because you have it every, like, the network is great, don't get me wrong, but when you have all these shows and you got all this material that you're putting out, let's just say in just WWE alone, you have NXT, Main Event, fucking SmackDown, fucking Raw, a pay-per-view, and then another pay-per-view every other week. You got a good 10 to 12 hours of wrestling on just WWE story-wise on TV. You know what I mean? And then you got a ton of people in each one of those divisions or companies or, you know, shows. How would you keep up with all these shows? How are you going to write stories for all these people without it bleeding, like, oh, that storyline kind of looks like the one they did in NXT, you know, without bleeding into another roster that bleeding into there? It's a fucking hard thing to do. I'm even just getting flustered just thinking about, damn, what story, whose story is this, whose story is that?
It's a fucking horror show.
It's not even like, because the creative isn't doing a great job. Creative is doing okay. It's just there's too many people to keep up with. You know what I mean? For example, you're bringing in Lacey Evans, these other guys, into a roster that's already kind of stacked already. And we're already kind of confused on what's going on with the roster there. Now you're adding a whole nother. It's like this. Okay, we got a whole party. I got enough beers for 20 people. Shit, now you're just adding another 6, 7, 8 people now? I don't have enough beers for that. You know what I mean? This is exactly what's going on. They barely even have enough beers for the people that are there. You know, so now you're just going to go and make the party just eh. Because you're going to run out of shit quick, you know what I mean? And that's exactly what they're doing, is they're running out of stories, they're running out of this. SmackDown has actually been going a little bit downhill for me too, and that's that every time we do a podcast, or every time we've done Fatal 4-Way, SmackDown always outrates, ranking-wise, it outshines the Raw, and now it's like, it's not, you know what I mean? And I think it's just because there's just so much shit going on, bro. I love wrestling, and I do, I love it so much, but sometimes I think they need to tone it down. That 3-hour Raw has really kicked their ass. Because now you're adding another hour on top of the 2 that you already having a hard time with.
It's like Monday Nitro and Thunder all over again.
Okay, yeah, and you know what the thing is too? Now that I've seen rumors that they're thinking of making SmackDown a 3-hour show too now, since they're all going to Fox and stuff, they're getting those deals.
No, that can't fucking happen. That cannot fucking happen.
Well, I've seen a lot of it. There's been feelers out there because, you know, the Fox, they've even thought about bringing Ronda, if she still stays, into SmackDown to get more eyes on SmackDown, because now they're changing into Fox and doing all, you know, they got the big-ass deal going on. So,
Well, Ronda's going to fucking bury the fucking roster there too. She's going to fucking kick all their asses.
But I don't think she's buried any of them. That's the thing. Sasha fucking... Here's the thing about Ronda. She's a legitimate fucking person. Like a legitimate athlete. You know what I mean? Literally can whoop your ass. Now, she's been doing fucking great her transition. That match that she had with Sasha Banks, fucking glorious. You know what I mean? She did great with Nia Jax, and that's it. They were both green. Not green, but considering Ronda's green as hell, Nia was still kind of green in her run, you know what I mean, at the time, about a year or whatever ago. She did great with her, too. I don't think she's been burying it. She's really been helping herself get over, but she's been putting a bunch of people over, too, because they're hanging in a ring with Ronda Rousey, you know what I mean? You've survived. Kind of like Taz used to say, you know, win if you can, survive if I let you. That's Ronda right now. They've survived every single time, and I don't think anything bad of Sasha. She lost that match, but man, she lost it in fashion. She put on a fucking fight. You know what I mean? And so did Ronda, though. Ronda's the more people she gets in the ring with, the better and better and better. Like, she just mixes them well. Like, she hasn't done too bad against the Riot Squad when she went against them for a while. She didn't do too bad against Nia. She didn't do too bad against Charlotte Flair. You know what I mean? I don't think they would ever do a bad show, but she's been doing good. I don't think she's buried anybody. I think, you know, obviously we don't – I think that it's just you don't want her to win all the time. But she's a star right now. She's a legitimate star. And for somebody who's in UFC, you got to respect the fact that she's not doing what Brock Lesnar's doing. You know, she could just have any contract show up what she wants, but no, she's done house shows. She's doing pay-per-view. She's doing Raw. She's doing whatever the fuck she's got to do. So I don't think she's buried anybody. I think she's helped people along the way because, I mean, Nikki Bella has said in an interview, she's like, I think – she elevates it. Now there's eyes on the women's division. You know what I mean? They were already eyes before a little bit. You know, they was gaining traction with the Paige and the AJ Lee and all that stuff. But when Ronda came in, she legitimized that fucking division. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got your Sasha, you got your Charlotte, you got the Asuka, but this is a legitimate fucking fighter. And now she's in the WWE, and you're putting eyes on there. If they didn't have eyes before, if there was just a restroom break before, now you got somebody that, oh, I want to see what Ronda's doing. I want to, you know what I mean? So in a way, she's helping the division. I don't think she's buried anybody at all. Not one person.
You want to know how worst way to lose a title? Guess what I found out on TNA back then.
What was that?
Did you watch? Have you heard about the Lockbox Challenge?
The what?
The Lockbox Challenge.
Oh, when they had that thing and they'd open the box and they see what was in it or whatever?
Yeah.
That was I don't know
isn't
if that was
that the
Vince Russo or Bruce Prichard.
Isn't that the worst way to lose a fucking championship and make the women's knockouts division look like a fucking joke?
Yeah. And that the thing is that knockouts division was the Divas Revolution. The women's revolution before there was a revolution. You know what I mean? Because for example, Taryn Terrell, man, she put on her matches against her and Gail Kim were fucking intense. And this is from Taryn Terrell, who came as like a regular manager lady off of ECW, the WWE version. You remember her?
Yeah.
Tiffany or whatever? Well, Taryn Terrell, she changed it around. And in knockouts, man, she fucking put on a show, dude. You know what I mean? She did great. What's her name? Tessa Bookmaster or something
Tessa
like that.
Blanchard?
No, not Tessa Blanchard. This is another girl. Bookmaker? What the fuck was her name?
Tessa Mocker?
Something like that. She was the one that was with Kelly Kelly. Yeah, Expose. Here you go. She did fucking awesome there, too. To be there.
Yeah.
They put it on a great thing, but that was a good way of just throwing it to shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, man. Let's talk about the next segment, and that is Chris Jericho joins AEW. That's a what-the-fuck moment in itself, don't you think?
Yeah, man, and I'm honestly glad. If you're trying to get eyes on the company, man, this is a good way to fucking do it. Legitimizes the company to me. You know, it's kind of like when – because the thing is, WCW – when it started going against Raw or started going against Vince, they were already legitimate to begin with. They had Ric Flair, they had the Four Horsemen, they had Sting, they had the people. Now, adding Hulk Hogan, just not because it was already legitimate, but adding him just gave that star rub. You know, like, oh my God, he's from WWE, a main WWE guy. Because yeah, they got from into AWA and shit from Vern Gagne back then. But he had his main run was in WWF at the time. And then to bring him into WCW, it's like, what the fuck? And that's when the other ones jump ship, you know? Here's the difference with that, though, is that none of these people are jumping ship. And Jericho has been out on his own doing his own thing. And this is a company that does need to get legitimized. They're starting over. They're just starting. And so for Jericho to be like the main big star there, it legitimizes the company, and I think that's the reason why the little promo that he did that was so heel, it was perfect,
because it kind of maybe was a little bit of the truth. He's putting AEW's name out there. You know what I mean? I gotta say he is the reason why they were able to sell out in 30 minutes. A 17,000-seater show or whatever the fuck.
Do you think that one day Jericho will return to WWE?
Maybe. I think so. And I don't see why they wouldn't. I think Jericho is going to be the catalyst of this whole fusion thing that we used to see in the 90s when they would do Japan versus WWE or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? WCW. The little mixtures of territories and stuff. I think he's going to be the catalyst when it comes to joining. Because he's got such a great relationship with Vince. Vince is the reason, not the reason, but Vince was, he gave him his thumbs up when he told him about, and I listened to his podcast, so I'm going from what he said on the show. You know, he's gone up to Vince and let him know, hey, this is what New Japan is offering me. I think I'm going to take it. And Vince would be like, you'd be stupid to not take that. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, he doesn't have an allegiance to the WWE anymore. But he's loyal to them, you know.
Who's the next star to leave the WWE to go to AEW? Who do you think is next?
That I'm not so sure, man.
Or how about this? How about Impact? Who do you think from Impact could go to AEW right now? From TNA. Who do you think from TNA is going to AEW? Batman?
What were we saying about AEW?
Who do you think is going to AEW from TNA?
Man, man. I don't know if I want any of those guys in there. And I don't think there's really anybody that they're really kind of interested in, you know? The way Jericho put it out, he's like, there's only really a few top stars from any of these companies that we are really interested in. You know, why would we, you know, I'm not worried about that. So I know that I saw that when Ty Dillinger asked for his release, Cody Rhodes was like, "Hey, bro, I'm wishing nothing but the luck for you," or whatever. And I bet you anything, he's gonna go to AEW. All these guys that asked for the release are gonna go to AEW. But TNA, I don't really see any stars that would be good at AEW. Do you know of any right now that would be great over there?
You know what?
Maybe the Lucha guys. Because I know there was one with LAX and him, like, just recently.
Yeah.
Lucha Bros or something like that.
I could see Eddie Edwards.
Eddie Edwards. Oh, the one that got hit in the face with the bat. Okay. Wasn't Sami Callihan considered?
Yeah, Sami Callihan and who else? Abyss is already in WWE, so that he can't go.
He's what?
Abyss is already in WWE.
He is? Wait, I've never heard of
him.
Yeah,
he's in WWE right now. Chris Parks is in WWE right now. It's on the YouTube channel.
What?
He's officially joined, and now he's writing for WWE.
That's fucking
official.
Nuts.
And Shane Helms is also back writing, too, so. Yep. Chris Parks.
Oh, man, that's crazy. I guess that makes sense because they were at the Ric Flair birthday party. Was it last night or the night before? Even Jericho put it on his Instagram. He put it on his Instagram. He was like, "Oh, the internet's gonna go crazy," or whatever, because it was him, him and Triple H in one picture, him and Shane McMahon in another picture. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I think he could be a catalyst in really trying to fuse this whole thing. You know?
Yep. Don't be surprised if we see Joseph Park have a match in WWE.
Man, that would be crazy. I would have never thought I would see Abyss in there.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to the home stretch. We're going to go to what if scenarios right now. The what if scenarios begin with, what if Roman Reigns broke up the Shield instead of Seth Rollins, Batman? What do you think would have happened if Roman Reigns broke it up instead of Seth Rollins for the first time ever?
Roman Reigns breaking it up?
Yeah.
I think that would have, that wouldn't have been good for him.
I don't think it would have worked for him.
If we really didn't like him now, we wouldn't have liked him then, and it would have been worse. Or it could have gone opposite of what I'm thinking, and he became the perfect heel. You know what I mean? That would have been the great way to make him heel.
Yeah. Like, what would have happened? Like, who would he feud with? And would this make Seth Rollins face? Would this make Seth Rollins face, or would he feuded with Dean afterwards? But you know what doesn't make sense for me right now? This still baffles me. Why did they turn face the first time against Triple H?
Why did they turn face the first time?
Yeah, why did they turn face against Triple H? Was that even explained?
Well, I think it was because he was building back Evolution.
No.
What better?
When they were working with him. They were working for him, and then they suddenly turned on him for no reason whatsoever.
I think it just had to do. I think that's when they. Isn't that when they finally started the authority thing?
Yeah, but I don't know why they were.
To me, that would work.
No, I mean, why did they turn on?
I know Seth Rollins explains that in the ENC podcast or whatever.
What did he say?
I think they just weren't ready. I think they were just trying to see where they would go from there, because they were building a lot of steam, and they were like, we can't just keep him this way. We got to figure out another way to keep it going. And the only other way was, that's what usually happens. Triple H is usually the guy that you're going to have to go against or get across to get over. You know what I mean? And it's always been that way with him, because he's the measuring stick. Whether people like to admit it or not, or like it or whatever the fuck, he is the measuring stick. So.
Yeah. I didn't understand it back then, but now I understand it now. It makes sense to me now. All right, so the next one is, what if Jericho and Miz had formed a tag team with each other, Jeremiz? You think it would have been great, Jeremiz?
I think so. I like their dynamic. I think they would have been a great dynamic. Jericho has awesome ideas, and The Miz is down for fucking anything. You know what I mean? So I think they're just good brothers, you know. So I feel like I think they would have had a great mixture of whatever the fuck they were trying to get through. I think it would have been a great tag team, to be honest with you. Their dynamic, the way they would have worked with each other, it would have been great. And then one of them being like, well, no, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. And then just bickering back and forth, but still being like the best tag team, that would have been a great way. Like, oh my God. Because at that time, Jericho was annoying as shit. You know, and so obviously The Miz too. So they're both characters being like, no, I'm better. No, I'm better. No, I'm better. No, I'm better. And then them turning out to be tag team champions just proved that they were better. It's like shoving it in your face. Like, motherfucker, you guys can't even get along. They're still better than us. Like, I would see a tag team like that.
I wouldn't mind either. That would have been fucking awesome. All right, so the last one is, if Brock didn't beat Taker at Mania, then who, Batman? Who would have been the other person to beat Brock Lesnar at Mania? If it wasn't
John Cena.
If it wasn't Brock, John, yeah, okay, yeah, John, yeah. It would have been John Cena, wouldn't it? Why do you feel it would have been John?
Well, if anybody's going to have any kind of push or anything like that, John Cena's the only one that I could have seen to do it. The only reason Brock Lesnar is the one that beat him was because Undertaker chose him personally. He was like, if I'm ever going to lose, this would be the guy to lose to, because he can legitimately beat me up. This is the guy that could beat the Undertaker. You know what I mean? And he was high. He was already running high off of the UFC and all that shit. So. That's why he won. But if we were going to keep it wrestling-wise, John Cena would have been the dude.
Yeah. Well, all right, so now that we're done, we could talk about anything we want now. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what we could talk about. Cody Rhodes is still injured. He's still recovering from his surgery. When do you think he'll be fit to return, Batman?
When is it? In some 6 months or something?
Yeah. 6 months. When do you think he's going to return? Do you think he's going to return for all Double or Nothing, or do you think it's going to be, you know?
Double or Nothing.
Okay. I can't wait. I can't wait for the first pay-per-view for All Elite Wrestling. Are you excited?
For All or Nothing, yeah. Or Double or Nothing, yeah.
Can't fucking wait. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Alright, so let's see. Well, rumors has it that Goldberg is still is part of the company for All Elite Wrestling. What do you think they're gonna do for Goldberg in AEW?
In AEW? They'll probably just make him somebody to talk about or whatever. Just make him something to just kind of just put some name, legitimacy into AEW. Like I said, they're still going to have to get some big names if they really want to keep going. You know what I mean? Right now, they were able to sell out this thing because of Jericho. But now imagine the next pay-per-view, they'll probably sell out because of Goldberg. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, DX has been officially announced to be in the Hall of Fame now. And since Billy Gunn is working in AEW, how will this affect, you know, the awkwardness?
What do you
mean?
AEW and him getting into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be an issue, to be honest with you. Because if there was to be an issue...
He's working with the enemy.
Well, I don't think they're really going to do anything about it. I mean, he's working with the enemy all the time. He was with TNA. He was with the Ring of Honor. He was all the fucking things, you know? I think it's just they're going to acknowledge him. And if there shouldn't be an issue if they're acknowledging China, you know what I mean? It's already overdue. But here's one thing I think with China, just to go on that, I think that was the only way that they were going to induct her as part of the group. I don't think they were going to ever induct her by herself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, I think you're forgetting one other person. I distinctly remember that there was a girl named Tori in DX, but apparently she's not good enough to be in this. Remember Tori?
Oh. Yes, I remember Tori. That's what I'm saying. Why would she? I don't see why she would be. The reason I say that is because she didn't revolutionize shit. China now, yes, because China was in the very first. Do you know who they're forgetting? It's Rick Rude. Because Rick Rude, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and China were the original DX. And it wasn't until Shawn Michaels left after WrestleMania 13 with the Austin thing because of his back. That's the next night when Triple H was like, you know, we're going to keep this going. And that's when he introduced, X-Pac. You know, and then, you know, obviously the New Age Outlaws were there a little bit before.
And not only that, but he was the first man to ever show up in both shows at the same night of Monday Night Raw and Nitro. On the same night. So I don't know why.
Yeah,
he was
on the same night. He was on two shows in the same night, yeah.
Why the fuck wouldn't you have a man who created history be on the show? It's disrespectful. But
it's beyond
what we could do. Like, okay, what do you think they're going to do for Drew McIntyre in the long plan? What's the long plan for Drew?
I'd say start feuding him with just people he hasn't feuded with, man. Honestly, I don't really...
He used to face John Cena at WrestleMania.
You think so, John Cena?
Yeah. Because he broke Cena's ankle in a storyline, so why not?
What was that?
He broke Cena's ankle in a storyline.
When was this?
That Raw.
This Raw? I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah, remember?
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember seeing this at all. No.
He broke. That's the reason why John Cena didn't show up at the Royal Rumble this year, because he broke fucking Drew broke Cena's ankle. Kayfabe. You don't remember that?
No, I don't actually.
They announced it on the pre-show that Cena is not going to be at the Royal Rumble because Drew McIntyre broke his ankle. Kayfabe. So he didn't show up.
Oh,
at the...
man, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, well, he's announced, and I think that's why I think they're going to face each other at WrestleMania, and then Drew's going to go over. Because I don't know if you know this, but the original plan was for Lars Sullivan to go over as of John Cena at WrestleMania, but because Lars Sullivan is missing, those plans, I think, have changed.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Lars Sullivan. I don't know why they haven't brought him back up.
What I've
but usually, I've noticed when they do vignettes on people, they never work. Every time they spend a bunch of vignettes on people, every time they come up, they always underperform or they're just not good enough.
I've read that he had a panic attack and he needed to recover. He had a panic attack and he needed to recover. That's what I read.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know what's happening. But I do know that I was right all along in that Sami Zayn is in the fucking doghouse, because ever since he said he doesn't feel like he needs to return to WWE, they completely stopped showing vignettes of his return. And I don't know, man. I think he's in the doghouse now. Sami Zayn.
I think so, man, because of the stuff that he's been talking about, right?
Yeah. He's completely gone off the face of the earth. Nobody's heard of him ever. Nobody's heard of him since. It's like he's gone. Like, he's gone off the face of the planet.
Man, and he was hot for a good while, man, until he got into the main roster.
Yeah. This is why I think he should have stayed on SmackDown. This is why This is why I think he should have won at the WrestleMania. Shane should have gotten the pin. Should have got pinned that night.
Nope. It wasn't on. Are you fucking serious?
What?
It's about to die right now.
What's wrong with you?
Oh. Hold on. Sorry about this.
Kind of scaring me, dude. Are you okay?
Nah, man. I'm on the road right now. It looks like my car is about to die.
Oh, fuck.
All right.
Are you near your home?
No, man. I'm actually far from home now.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, give me just a second, my friend.
All right. Take your time. Oh, fuck, ladies and gentlemen. Technical difficulties.
Wow. Yeah. Hold on. Give me a second.
No, take your time, man.
Brother Christian?
Yeah.
What's going on, man? It's Minister of Sinister.
Yeah, man. His fucking
just joining in to check
fucking...
the conversation, man. And I heard that Batman is going down with some problems. So I thought I'd come in and cover, man.
Yeah, covering for like a few minutes. The show's about to end soon. His fucking car is dying, dude. I didn't even know he was fucking driving while doing this.
I didn't either. I came downstairs to check on you guys, man. I was busy upstairs. I came downstairs.
I honestly thought he was getting mugged.
Oh, shit.
You never know here in fucking Houston,
man. Holy shit, dude. Nothing but fucking crime in this motherfucker.
I was like, what the fuck is he getting mugged? He's getting mugged like, oh my God. Freaking out. Like, so...
Man, y'all were talking about... Let's see, what were you guys talking about?
We were talking about... We were talking about Lars Sullivan and fucking Sami Zayn going away MIA.
So Lars Sullivan is this big guy, right? He's the big guy I've been seeing.
Yeah,
I saw a little bit of him, and then all of a sudden he disappeared. Yeah,
he's bald.
Yeah, there you go.
He's the bald-headed fucker.
Yeah.
Bald-headed.
Well, I don't know what happened to that guy. But you're right.
Apparently,
he just suddenly disappeared.
Apparently, they're saying he had a panic attack, and he needed to go home and recover. But I think that's bullshit.
Panic attack? Fuck, if he had a panic attack, he's in the wrong fucking business.
He was planning to go over on John Cena at WrestleMania, right?
Man, no, I don't. But fuck, man, how can you let an opportunity like that slip away, man? Shit.
Yeah.
Over a panic attack? I don't know if I can buy it.
What a bitch. What a bitch.
I don't know if I can buy that.
He's supposed to be booked as the new monster, and he's having panic attacks. What a bitch.
The new monster? They fucking shit all over the fucking current monster they had. Why the fuck would they even want a new monster? They had a perfectly good monster in fucking Braun Strowman. Don't get me wrong. I've never been a fan of the guy, but shit. He was a perfectly good fucking monster, dude. They fucking shit his fucking career away. You saw the beating he took at fucking Chamber. I mean, how is he going to recover from that and go into a match at fucking WrestleMania? How are we supposed to take him serious?
His credibility died when he tag teamed with a little child.
With who?
With a little child named Nicholas at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, man. That was a whole year ago. That was a whole year ago.
Yeah.
And look where he's at now. He had that fucking incredible baby face run where they could have done something with them, something positive with them. Instead, they shit his whole fucking career away. They shit the whole mystique, the whole fucking badassness that had been built up from this guy. He fell in their fucking lap, actually, if you think about it. He came in at a time when people were fucking leaving and all that shit. He stepped up his game. I mean, he was terrible when he first came on. I remember I used to laugh at the guy. But he stepped up his game. He got to where he was passable on the mic.
Don't forget he was a Rosebud.
Not the best, but he's passable. Sorry?
Don't forget that he was a Rosebud for Adam Rose.
Yes. This guy emerged on the scene as a freaking Rosebud. He was able to recover from all that, okay? He fucking, then next thing you know, people are leaving and shit, so he steps in, and he does good. He improved his freaking promo skills. I mean, he improved them quite a bit. There's people that have been on there longer than him that struggle more than he does, so he's improved quite a bit. He can at least pass them. You know, he can at least cut a promo that's decent enough. After doing all that, then they just fucking shit on him and throw him away. I'm not in agreement with that. They do that to Bray Wyatt. They do that to a lot of people. They did freaking Ryback. You know, when he helped them out, they were in a pickle. Cassina was injured or whatever. He came in. He saved the day.
Yeah, it's a fucking tragedy.
Then next thing you know, they shit all over him. They shit all over the Nexus. I mean, that was a great opportunity, especially for Wade Barrett. He could have been the big, he could be right now a big, huge star, man. Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
But instead, they shit him away, man. And they're doing the same thing with Braun. And now this guy, freaking Lars Sullivan, was scheduled to go over Cena. That's a big freaking deal in this industry.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I can buy that he fucking had to go home over a freaking panic attack.
Yeah, but then, you know who would have, you know what they would have done, right? If Roman Reigns was fit to return, they would have buried him with Roman. So none of it would matter anyway.
You say that the defeat to Cena, if he would have won Cena, that wouldn't have mattered anyway because he would have only come back to lose to Roman?
Yes.
Shit.
Yes, because guess what? Even if Roman Reigns returns, they're still gonna book him the way they booked him all these years. There's nothing gonna fucking change, and people are gonna go right back to booing him all over again. We're gonna be right back where we fucking started.
Yeah.
It's gone to fucking shit. This WrestleMania build sucks. What else? And then, you know why they're fucking pushing Kofi? It's because there was rumors that the fucking New Day was going to leave to AEW too. So that's why they're fucking pushing Kofi now. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care about Kofi Kingston. They just care that these people are leaving to AEW.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
I just sent Batman a message, man, letting him know if he's stuck out somewhere. He needs me to go help him out.
Did he hang up?
Let me check. I don't think so. Let me see. No, he's still on the line. No, now he dropped.
Now his call dropped.
I sent him a message, man, if he needs help.
This show just took a turn for the worst, didn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where he's at or what, you know what I mean? But his call did just drop. Right now, I don't know what's going on.
That's scary. I'm for real legit getting kind of scared now.
Yeah, I don't know where he's at, but I sent him a message if he needs help to give me a shout.
Yeah,
I'll see if I can go.
Yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen,
go pull him out of wherever he's at.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna repeat, this is not part of the show. Batman's car has stopped working, and right now his call just dropped, so we're kind of worried about him right now, but we'll see if we can get in touch with him. I mean, this is fucking scary. I'm getting scared right now, ladies and gentlemen. Fuck me.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
But let's get back to a little bit more chatter and see if he calls back. Let me tell you, man, about Royal Rumble a little bit. It was interesting that they did not have unless if I got there late, man, but I was there in time. There was no national anthem. And I don't know, they typically do a national anthem. Like, I remember when Lillian was around, they always did a national anthem. So there was no national anthem.
Yeah, well, A lot of people don't know how to sing the national anthem good no more, so that's why probably.
Right. And also, there was no introduction for the announce team, and that probably had something to do with fucking Corey Graves and shit.
I think you're talking about Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The Elimination Chamber,
Yeah, they did. And you notice, I don't know if you, well, of course you wouldn't know, you were there live, but Corey Graves hardly talked at all in the pay-per-view, by the way.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, and I plan to watch it tonight, unless if I have to go and put out the rescue on Batman. That's my plan, is to watch it tonight. I got to catch up on it. So I don't know. Corey, you said Corey Graves was kind of silent, huh? So did Renee Young pick up the slack? Was Renee doing some of the talking, or did they have that other guy?
Michael Cole did all the work. Renee Young said a few things here and there, but she was shit as always. I'm getting sick of Renee Young, dude.
Bad.
I'm getting sick of Renee Young. And I don't give a fuck what Taz says on his fucking podcast. She's fucking awful, all right, Taz? If you're listening to our podcast, I'm telling you right now, she's fucking terrible. She's fucking awful. And it's not because she's a fucking woman. It's that I don't think she was ready to do this kind of responsibility. That's how bad she is.
Yeah, I don't. I never got on board with her from the beginning. I thought she was shit, and she's still shit, man. I mean, it seems like it's even worse now. Oh! You know, she just all of a sudden fucking, oh! And then she doesn't follow through with it. That's fucked up.
Stop it, Corey. You know, Baron Corbin is the worst person ever. Baron Corbin. Fucking stop talking about Baron Corbin. Even when Baron Corbin's not even involved in segments, she still talks about Baron Corbin. And fucking her dresses are fucking ugly, by the way. Everything she wears are fucking terrible. She's not dressed as a professional.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There was so much talk about her when they initially got her, about how great she was and this and that. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I never thought she was that great, even doing the backstage shit.
No. She was fucking awkward as fuck.
She's not even that great to look at. I mean, Charlie Caruso is much, much hotter than Renee Young.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I guess the people fell in love with her and fucking.
People did not fall in love with her.
It was the year of the woman.
They made memes of her. She's a
meme. Then it was the year of the woman. You know, women have to fucking run the world now, or it's not right. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Well,
you know, women are entitled to fucking work and shit. But I mean, come on. Let's, you know, everything has to be pro woman now. Woman this, woman that, woman, and shit. And they ended up fucking putting a woman on the fucking announce table, and she doesn't belong. Like you said, she's not ready for it.
Why?
She's not even a former wrestler.
Why do women sometimes think we never gave them a chance? I mean, some women were leading roles in movies. What more do they want?
That's a tough one to answer. But like I'm saying, man, you know, she wasn't even a wrestler. You know, those jobs are referred, they leave them for people that were former wrestlers. Jerry the King, freaking Booker T. You know what I mean? It's always been like that, even from the beginning with fucking Stan Stasiak or whoever the hell used to do comedy. It's always been the announcer guy and then a fucking former wrestler doing the color. Or two former wrestlers doing the color or whatever. And then they just brought in Renee Young and put her on the table. And like you said, man, she just was not ready for it.
No, she's shit. She knows she's shit, but she doesn't want to admit it. She's garbage.
Yeah.
Well,
so do you still think that Ambrose, do you think that this whole thing, like T-Rock said Monday night, Ambrose is actually going to sign with WWE and he's not going to go to AEW or leave WWE?
I don't know, man. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with Ambrose anymore. I've given up on him already. Like, he's dead to me as it is.
he would be better off leaving, right?
Yeah, he's dead to me. He's dead to me already, you know. Fuck him.
Yeah, he would be better off fucking leaving anyway. Right.
Yeah, fuck him. Fuck him. Fuck him, fuck him, fuck him. If they do the whole CM Punk shit all over again, I'm not going to get fucking excited. Because they did this shit already with CM Punk. Why the fuck would I get excited for this shit?
The whole CM Punk thing, like, you're talking about that promo and shit?
Yeah.
You know what? I could see them doing some shit like that, too.
Fuck me. I just think that I also think that Samoa Joe is getting fucked over.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Samoa Joe getting the first one eliminated in an Elimination Chamber match.
Oh,
what
man,
the
that
fuck?
Was. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was terrible.
What the fuck? And he's okay with this? He's okay with
here
being
he
booked
was,
as a loser?
Yeah, because, you know, here he was taking everybody out. You remember that? He was
yeah.
just taking everybody out. And shit, at the end, he would come in and take people out and stuff. And then he was the first one to get taken out.
Yeah. That fucking promo he cut on SmackDown means nothing now. Because he gets eliminated before even Jeff Hardy gets in the fucking cage. Oh my, still no word from Batman, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully he's okay, you know. Hopefully nothing terrible has happened. Hopefully not. But what else? Rusev and Nakamura as a tag team now? That's fucking terrible and random.
Yeah. Hang on just a second. Yeah, that is random.
Terrible. Might as well release these two right now, because here I was thinking, well, it might even happen, because these two might be the new SmackDown champions at WrestleMania. Because now that Usos beat Miz and Shane, I'm thinking now the fucking Shinsuke and Rusev is going to beat the Usos for the tag titles at WrestleMania.
You're thinking who is going to beat who? The Usos are going to beat who?
I'm thinking the Rusev and Nakamura is going to beat the Usos for the tag championships at WrestleMania.
Oh, man.
Because in an exclusive video, right, Lana said that she has a plan. That fucking plan could involve fucking Rusev and Nakamura winning the tag titles.
Who's playing the babyface in that role?
The Usos.
The Usos?
Yeah. The Usos are the babyfaces.
They act so much like freaking heels, man.
Well, they're gangster faces. They're gangsters.
Yeah, I fucking hate that shit, man.
But that's what got them over.
This is the fucking world we live in. Yeah, this is the fucking world we live in now. You have to be a gangster.
Yeah. That's how they got over. And then fucking Rusev and Nakamura is going to be tag champions, but that's not going to fucking matter. Nobody fucking will care. And then there's the fucking Revival, who are the Raw tag champions, but nobody gives a fuck about that. Who the fuck are they going to lose to the titles to? Who? Who do you think? Heavy Machinery? Get the fuck out of here.
Nah, man. This Heavy Machinery is not ready for anything like that.
Who the fuck?
There's nobody else.
No, there's nobody. They should just cut the tag division as a whole. make a new division. The middle class.
What's a shame is that they have so many people, so many teams, and nobody is writing for them.
Yeah.
The storylines for the tag division are terrible.
Everything's fucking terrible. Raw is fucking terrible for 3 hours. 3 hour bullshit.
Yeah, three, and unless they do something, you know, everybody already knows, unless if Raw changes up where it gets better, Monday Night Fallout, the last episode, will be the night after WrestleMania.
What gives me a question. Does that also end the IWC pay-per-views, or how do we announce those pay-per-views?
I don't know. That's something that we would have to ask Hollywood. Hollywood does the pay-per-views. T-Rock doesn't do the pay-per-views. That's Hollywood. So we'd have to talk to Hollywood about that.
Yeah, because we still need to fucking advertise our pay-per-views.
Yeah. But yeah, man. The last show right now scheduled for Fallout will be the show after WrestleMania. We'll do a post WrestleMania show and then Monday night, and that's currently the way it's supposed to go down right now. Unless if WWE changes,
which it won't,
it's becoming a tour to do this show every Monday night.
Yeah,
you know, to just get on there and have the blood boiling.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a worse Raw. They're all fucking terrible. There's no such thing as a worse Raw. They're all fucking terrible. That's my fucking quote. Oh man.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I was glad I was able to join you. I came in right on time when Batman was having problems with his car.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I hope he's okay, dude. Like, that's scary.
I got word from him. He said he's close by the house now.
All right. So I guess we'll end the show here. Thank you for listening to Radio Renegades. I'm sorry about Batman, but, you know, things like this happen all the time. We can't stop it. We can't control it. But I'm here with Minister of Sinister. Thanks for filling in for the last minute. And join
You're
us
welcome.
Next
You're
Saturday.
Welcome.
Thank you. Join us next Saturday when we'll have more stuff to talk about. Just because Monday Night Fallout might come to an end doesn't mean our shows will stop producing. We'll still do shows. And
That's right.
Thanks for joining us, and see you next Saturday. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Peace.
Good night. Da 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 da.